producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every show, we kick it around with our pals from Talk Radio News. Luke Vargas in the wings from New York. Luke, I'll tell you what, and Luke, as all of you know, covers the UN and so much more than that. But this thing with Ebola, everybody is talking about it. You got the two missionaries who were infected, and now this Dr. Kent Brantley, who gets this medication, I think it's called ZMAP, just after telling his own doctors he thought he was going to die, and apparently he's starting to bounce back. So first of all, I'm sure there's conversation about this serum, and then also the threat of Ebola and how much misconceptions there are out there, but also how much concern there is certainly in West Africa.
It's kind of a cool story, I'll tell you. CNN came out with this story this morning saying that these two doctors, obviously the man in question, as well as another doctor, Nancy Reitbol, had been treating people as a, in their work for a charity in Liberia, I believe, called Samaritan's Purse. They came down with Ebola, and they were pretty late into their phase of being infected. I believe in the case of the patient who's arrived in Atlanta now, it was 9 days in, which is quite far in the process.
Yeah.
It seems like he was able to lean on his connections in the pharmaceutical world to request specifically this experimental treatment. It was developed by a company called MAP Biopharmaceutical, which is based in San Diego, with the permission of the CDC, and that's a pretty crucial element here. It's not like any laboratory in the United States can just send off an experimental treatment to anyone around the world that hasn't gone through clinical trials. The CDC apparently signed off under this clause of compassionate care, essentially saying the need is so dire here, we need to make some exceptions, and they sent three vials off for these two American doctors. What CNN says in their reporting is that within an hour of receiving his treatment, this man began to feel better, which is really extraordinary considering the fact that Ebola is one of these, they're kind of classified as neglected diseases that normally doesn't get much attention on the pharmaceutical front, and there's just nothing on the horizon really when it comes to conventional therapies for this disease. So the fact that he turned around so quickly, that Dr. Whitebull received that treatment shortly thereafter and is now also being flown back to the United States. It's a really interesting story. The very latest I've seen from CNN includes remarks from that pharmaceutical company, MAP, saying that they have, quote, very little of this, this serum in question. I guess they're trying to, you know, probably on one hand balance all this enthusiasm for the success of this sort of experimental treatment. On the other hand, saying, look, we can't just supply thousands of doses of this to West Africa right away to try to treat people. So for the moment, it's a very intriguing story. It's a moment to feel proud, I guess, as an American to some extent, because a treatment developed here seems to have proven some success on the front lines of this disease, but the concern still exists everywhere. And with the latest news tonight of potential infections in New York, I think more and more people around the globe are also becoming afraid. Just as some, I guess, are proud, rather, of the advances of medicine here.
Yeah, I like how you said it. They have to be careful what they're saying because the amount they have, because if it were out there in big quantities, it certainly wouldn't hurt anything. And it sounds like it's incredibly effective, but, you know, they're not at that point yet where they have massive amounts of it. So it's pretty, I think it's a fascinating story. I absolutely agree with you 100%. All right, I want to switch gears and talk about Russia and the fact that now the Europeans are on board. We know that from the last couple of weeks. Because of, I think, really the tilting point was the downed Malaysian flight. But now they're really wanting to stick it to the Russians with more sanctions. So, man, this is full speed ahead for them, isn't it?
Pretty much. Though from the beginning, we have seen some countries really outpacing others, specifically within Europe, about their commitment to tightening the screw on the Kremlin, if you will. You've had countries, you know, like Poland and the various other Eastern European countries really willing to go out there, try to reach for the most aggressive sanction or punishment for a specific Russian industry or subsector or oligarch. And then you've had other countries dragging their feet. To some extent, France has long been a country that has been seen as sort of being behind the pack when it comes to European countries willing to stick it to Russia. What we've seen in the past 24 hours are reports from Germany that the country is looking to cancel a $134 million contract to supply an advanced military training base that would be used to, I guess, show off some pretty advanced training technologies to about 30,000 Russian soldiers per year. That contract has been canceled outright. The biggest sticking point now, and this is sort of the next on the horizon to see how deep they're willing to go, is a $1.6 billion transaction for two, they're called Mistral-class ships. They are essentially aircraft carriers for helicopters that a French corporation is producing for the Russian Navy. There have been many journalists at the United Nations who have been pressing the French ambassador, whenever he goes up to the podium over the last few months, it's kind of embarrassing for him. They could be talking about Iraq, they could be talking about Mali or any other country, and then journalists are heckling them about the fact that they're selling or continuing to sell these state-of-the-art naval ships to the Russian Navy as their European colleagues want to pursue deeper sanctions. And we just got some indications this week that the European Union might be willing to take over that contract, essentially, you know, reach into its monetary reserves, find $1.6 billion, and just buy this, move this contract and have it fulfilled to them instead of the Russian Navy. It's not the best case scenario, but it would avoid the embarrassment of having sort of a split team, if you will, in Europe when it comes to having a united policy against Russia.
Yeah. How about this last one, as we try to squeeze this in, the Iraqi government, this is huge, a new alliance to stop Islamic fighters. So what does that mean about current U.S. policy? As we know, the full withdrawal happens in December.
You're right. For a long time, the Iraqi government has been and likely will continue to be very skeptical of the Kurdish ethnic population in northern Iraq. They kind of want to be independent. They've taken control of oil fields and have been trying to generate their own income and administer part of the country. They've been faced, as I'm sure you know and your listeners know, by this threat of the Islamic militant group, the Islamic State. They were formerly an Al-Qaeda offshoot. They've now declared this caliphate across northern Iraq and parts of Syria. They're threatening Baghdad. For the first time, we saw a hint today that Nouri al-Maliki, the Iraqi government, is going to back up the Kurds in the north, sending in Air Force support to try to help them stave off these militant attacks. Again, just in the past few hours, there have been statements from Baghdad saying this is not indicating an alliance. And I think, I want to make sure it's clear this is not a real long-term change in Baghdad's position against this offshoot Kurdish group. But they are sensing the real risk now of these Islamic fighters from the Islamic State taking over more territory. They're willing to team up with an old adversary in trying to push them back. So it does just underscore again the threat of the Islamic State a few weeks after I think they sort of dropped out of the headline.
Yeah, well put. After they really seem like they dropped out. All right, Luke Vargas, Talk Radio News. Thanks.
Sure thing. Have a great night.
You too. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids.
I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now, I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.
Whoa, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning Blue River. Well, I bet you taught the other kids how. Well, I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you took the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a
wow, so how big is that? What we're just talking about with our pal there at the top, Luke Vargas, the second Ebola patient, by the way, heading to the U.S. New York City tests some possible, possible victim. But then you have the situation of this serum that incredibly has had this amazing result with this doctor and also another woman who was working with that Samaritan group out of Africa. Still, you've got our federal agents who are at U.S. airports watching people coming back from Africa for any flu symptoms, anything that could be tied to Ebola. Because here's the thing, it isn't an outbreak. There is some very scary things happening in Africa with the death toll at close to 900, and it takes just that little bit of transference when you're on planes, etc., for something, unfortunately, to get through. And this is why you had Border Patrol agents at Washington's Dulles International, JFK in New York. They're worried about travelers, possible exposure to that virus, and they're really looking for headaches, fevers, other known symptoms. So while you have the secret serum that saved the two Americans, you know from the conversations we've had here on this show, but elsewhere, that Ebola is very, very hard to catch. Very, very hard to catch when somebody's got it, to catch that they have the symptoms of it. However, in talking to a lot of different doctors about it, the feeling is it's not, as Luke said this too, not airborne like SARS or measles. You'd have to have direct physical contact with bodily fluids like blood or somebody throwing up, that kind of thing, for it to happen. However, it's not impossible, and that's the thing. That's why they're concerned with people coming in. They get sick, something happens, and there is some kind of a transference. So they're not being stupid about it at these major hubs. But it's still not like SARS. It's not like that. When you think Liberia and Guinea and Sierra Leone and, gosh, almost 900 people, and people that could not know that they have it could be carrying it. I mean, you did have an older woman who died in London after a flight from Sierra Leone tested negative for Ebola, though. And then in Nigeria, which is the most populous country, they confirmed that second case. A Nigerian doctor who had treated another patient. And then, of course, a Liberian-American man, Patrick Sawyer, we've talked about him. He died from that disease. And then we just talked there about Kent Brantley, who got the last-ditch experimental drug after getting Ebola in Liberia and is in stable condition in Atlanta. He's sitting there at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and Emory University. It's a center that they run conjointly. And then Nancy Reipel, who got the same experimental drug, is coming into Atlanta on Tuesday. But, boy, they don't know for sure if that doctor is out of the woods, but they feel incredibly lucky at the signs that they are seeing. You know, so what the misinformation is and what the correct information is, not airborne, but bodily fluids. This is why, you know, gloves, masks, all that kind of stuff, something splashed onto somebody, touching materials. So it's not that it's not a scary thing, because I think it's scary, but it's not quite the same as completely airborne. If it were, then it'd be even that much bigger of a concern, I think. You know, so the good news is it's not airborne. The bad news is that the virus does mutate. So if somebody doesn't clean up the right way or they don't cover up something, then that's when the disastrous thing can ultimately happen. Believe it or not, besides Ebola, there are some other things that I think are on the radar that are part of the buzz in your backyard and mine. What are we so concerned about here in the United States? What's happening still at the border? So the three emergency shelters at the military bases that we've been talking about, one of them is clearing out probably by Friday in Oklahoma, Fort Sill. Then you have shelters in Texas at San Antonio and in California at the naval base there in Ventura County. 2 to 8 weeks for those to shut down. The three combined have been home for almost 8,000 children, and they say they could reopen if they need to do that. However, the massive surge of kids has now contracted a bit. So that's kind of a mixed signals thing, I think. So, wow, it's exploding, and then now we've seen a little bit of contraction. And what's interesting is the governor of Oklahoma, Mary, said, she was pretty honest about it. She said she's concerned. She heard the lease on the Fort Sill's shelter was extended through January 31st. She said, so how's that? We're getting these weird mixed signals. Are we keeping it open or what are we doing? Originally, she said they were told they'd have 1,200 minors, unaccompanied kids, but then it exploded to 1,800. They also had kids from countries other than Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador that were housed at Fort Sill. And the governor says she's skeptical of the migrant children, the tide of the migrant children, which has permanently dropped. She's saying, we know that illegals, naturally, the amount dips in the summer months because the temperatures are on the rise. So we've got this improper use of military bases. It's a health hazard. It's a Band-Aid. And the borders aren't any more secure. And we still may have the problem of, what do we do? How do we house all these kids? And no money was pushed through before Congress took off. It's like somebody tried to explain to me the other day. I think it was my aunt I was talking to. There's two kinds of things, predicaments and problems, right? This is a problem. It's not a predicament. It was a predicament a long time ago. Now it's a problem. Because you have people vanishing in the middle of the night into neighborhoods. In your neck of the woods and in mine. And we're not getting anywhere with this. It's like we're all tone deaf. Now's the time to stop it. Now's the time to figure this thing out. To enforce laws that weren't enforced. I mean, talk about inhumane. People finding dead children on ranches because coyotes dumped them off because they didn't make it through the whole journey. Or it was too inconvenient. Come on. That's not humane. That's not humanity. But this is the kind of things that are underreported, but are definitely happening. It's not conjecture, hearsay, stirring it up. It's none of that. It's not politicizing it. It's just the facts. It's just the facts from what's going on with the Border Patrol. What little leaks out because they can't publicly comment. And even the PR people, if you will, for the Border Patrol, is being very, very non-committal about some of the things that they're saying. Coming up in just a few moments, we're going to talk to my pal Ivan Elin. You want to talk about somebody who has the pulse on the tricky sands of the Middle East? This time around with Ivan, we're going to talk about Libya and how we're getting sucked further and further down the rat hole that ultimately is strangling us, even as he would say, debt-wise, when you look at the United States and what have we gained from these wars, it's more about what have we paid for these wars. Too much. Too much. So we have the evacuation of the embassy, the U.S. embassy in Libya, and as he talks about, the ill effects of intervention there and in some other places that's led to chaos in almost everywhere we've stepped into the middle of Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya. Ivan Elin on the flip side.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, LegalShield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to LegalShield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let LegalShield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
Springtime is saved big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know spring is the time to stock up at HerbalHealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for spring specials, including our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia and Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Warwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to HerbalHealer.com and click on Spring Specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
All right, you're going to love this. We have more to talk about when it comes to Libya, especially the evac that we saw and just how brutal that was and some of the things that we might or might not have learned from it. Ivan Elin wrote a great piece, again, on Huffington Post. He's a senior fellow and director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute. Ivan, I guess just even face value, how crazy was that evacuation of the U.S. Embassy in Tripoli?
Well, you know, it's sort of the culmination of a process that we created ourselves by removing Gaddafi from power in violation of a UN resolution that we helped organize. And so it's, you know, this has led to chaos, internal tribal civil war, terrorist base in the southern part of Libya, and many of Gaddafi's arms spread around in Africa, including the Islamist takeover of northern Mali, which the French had to launch an invasion to repel. So, I mean, it's destabilized the whole region around there and caused chaos and that sort of thing. So our embassy was the victim of its own government's policy, really.
Yeah, so, and you write about this. You go even deeper on that. You talk about that you say we continue to engage all Libyans and the international community to seek a peaceful resolution to this conflict to advance Libya's democratic transition. But what democratic transition is that?
Well, you have to put that in quotes because I think, you know, many of these countries like Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, we kind of want the people and the political culture to be like ours, but they just don't have the political culture to sustain a democracy. And that doesn't mean that Islamic countries or Arabic countries can't eventually have democracy, but they've done academic studies that show that countries that don't have enough income levels and are still developing at a lower level but are increasing but they're not up to the level where democracy can be sustained. Usually democracy is sustained when you develop enough incomes to have a middle class. The middle class is the majority, and they have the votes to outvote the autocracy, and they essentially, that's what they do. And this happened in South Korea, happened in Taiwan, it happened in Chile. A lot of countries have simply had economic reforms first. They got richer, and then they got the political reforms later. But, of course, we're trying to take a shortcut in all of these countries. And not only are the countries not of high enough economic level, they also have, in the case of Libya, tribal conflict. In the case of Iraq, ethno-sectarian conflict. And, you know, in the case of Afghanistan, also ethno-sectarian conflict. So these are divisive societies. They're not, they're all probably below the income levels that would be needed to sustain a democracy. So it's kind of futile to do these sorts of things, especially at the point of a gun.
Yeah. So, and does this lead, don't you feel like this leads things in a different direction for them to make things worse, if you will? I mean, you talk about it. I completely agree. It's like all of a sudden more radical Islamist reactions, extremism, really, frankly, start to pop open even worse when we jump into the middle of it.
Well, I think Donald Rumsfeld best summed it up with a marginal question on some report that he wrote about Iraq during the period of the Iraq conflict, and he said, are we creating more terrorists than we're killing? And that, of course, was the key question, which, of course, no one ever answered. And we did so in Iraq. We've done so in Afghanistan. It spread to Pakistan. We're doing it in Yemen. It's been documented fairly accurately by reporters in Lebanon that since we've been helping the Lebanese government battle the Islamists, the Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula group, which is a splinter of the Al-Qaeda group or regional affiliate of it, has increased in membership. And as Somalia, we created helped create the problem there. And I think, you know, this interventionist policy, it merely revs up the Islamists and gives them more support. Think about what would happen if an invader came to our country, a foreign invader. We wouldn't like it very much, and we'd probably fight back fiercely. And so they use these groups. Whom nobody's saying these groups are, you know, great people, but what they're doing is they're using the U.S. intervention as a rallying point, saying the foreign invader is here, we've got to fight the foreign invader, and that's sometimes even if we don't have troops there but are sending aid, et cetera. So we have to be careful, I think, but by direct military intervention, but we also have to be careful about do we really need to not only intervene, but if we don't intervene, do we need to give military assistance to these places? Because I think in some cases we're just fueling arms into the chaos. And I think Obama has quite correctly determined that that's what would have happened in the Syrian conflict. Because in many cases, and this also happened when the Soviets were fighting the Mujahideen in the 80s, the most radical groups, are, you know, war is an evolutionary hothouse. And, of course, the nastiest groups grab the weapons and kill everybody else. And I think that's what's happened in Syria. It's what happened with the Mujahideen during the 80s and gave us Al-Qaeda, et cetera. So a lot of U.S. aid helped create Al-Qaeda in the first place. So, and, of course, Israel has created Hamas to battle, which is the Islamist group in Palestine, to battle the mainline PLO, which is now much more moderate than Hamas. So both Israel and the United States, I think, have to be more careful what they do because they just create more enemies. And I think we're seeing that in Gaza right now.
Yeah, and then people listening to America Tonight, Ivan, one of the things they'll think about is every time we hear about the national debt and how big it is and what happens each and every year and how our economy just gets more and more sluggish, depending, I guess, on what economists you talk to and what neighborhood you're in and that kind of stuff. But still, regardless, numbers are numbers. Can we really afford to be the country that everybody leans on that we end up being the world's policeman?
No, because we, as you point out, we have a $17 trillion debt. And the reason that the economy has taken so long to recover from the Great Recession is because the debt is dragging the economy. And part of that debt is all the wars we fought. It's not all the wars, because we have a lot of entitlement spending and that sort of thing that we need to reform. But we're certainly wars, these unnecessary wars, the occupation of Afghanistan. You can make an argument for retaliating after 9/11 and trying to kill bin Laden and decimate al-Qaeda. But did we really have to invade the country and do a nation-building, an expensive nation-building exercise? The same with Iraq. That was totally unrelated to 9/11. The Libyan overthrow, the overthrow of Libya's dictator, Muammar Gaddafi. And have we really made these places better? I mean, Saddam was a dictator, Gaddafi was a dictator, but now we have chaos, which is feeding chaos in the countries surrounding both Iraq and Libya. And Iraq fed the chaos in Syria, and now the Syria is feeding the chaos back to Iraq again. So, you know, we destabilized the whole regions, and it costs us a lot more to, you know, now we're helping Iraq again, even though we don't have troops there anymore. So that's costing us money. All these unintended consequences cost money, and it's a big chunk of the debt, and I think we need to quit doing this because we can't afford it anymore, and we don't really need to do it anyway. In fact, I think, you know, we do a lot of this for oil in the Middle East, but the free market is the best way to get oil. It's actually cheaper to pay to buy it, even at higher prices, than it is to create all the military forces to defend it. So, and I think, you know, this has been known for a couple of centuries now with the classical economists. Back in the late 1700s and 1800s, you know, they said empires don't pay, and that's essentially what we have, is an informal, not a formal like the British Empire, but an informal empire. It just doesn't pay financially for us to do that, and it hasn't. I guess there's a certain amount of glory to being a superpower, but sure is expensive.
Yeah, no kidding. At some point, we do have to say we can't afford to do this anymore, right?
Right. And I think, you know, people, of course, the opponents of pulling back a little bit will say, well, you know, the world needs U.S. leadership and that sort of thing. But, you know, every time they say that, I reach for my pocketbook to see if they're taking more of my tax money. We're sort of gratifying our own egos by saying that we're the indispensable nation. Yeah. We're certainly unique in the world, but I think we're going to lose that uniqueness. The uniqueness is not because we have the biggest and best military in world history. The greatness is that we have a republic, and warfare erodes the republic every time we do these things. We saw it, in the 9/11 was blowback, of course, for U.S. intervention in Saudi Arabia and support, for interventions in the Middle East. And, of course, after 9/11, we had all sorts of blowback against the republic by we had torture, illegal detentions, unconstitutional spying by our own intelligence agencies, everything. I mean, we went through all this in the Vietnam War, and we not only didn't learn from the counterinsurgency tactics that we were supposed to have learned in the Vietnam War, because we made all the same mistakes in Iraq and Afghanistan all over again, but we also made the same mistakes at home. In Vietnam, we had domestic spying, and now we have it again. So, I mean, we keep having to relearn these lessons that perhaps we shouldn't get involved in these brush fire wars. If something comes up that's really threatens U.S. security, fine, we have to do something about it. 9/11 was a case that, but I think we also have to figure out what caused 9/11, and that was U.S. intervention and the brutal and terrorist response that was response to that. Well, we're not blaming the victims, but what we're saying is that the U.S. government may have, you know, led to some of this stuff, and perhaps we could reduce our exposure to it. There's still going to be bad guys out there, and some of them will attack the United States, and we have to deal with that. But I think we need a smaller footprint overseas so that we don't attract the hornets from the hornet's nest, so to speak.
Yeah, well said. Perfect place to end this. Ivan Elin, thanks so much.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Hey folks, this is Larry Crisp for BabyBoomerBackupPlan.com. I'm sure you know, this economy sucks. We all realize that the American economy is tremendously unstable right now and will likely get much worse. There's monumental debt, government bailouts, stock and real estate bubbles that are primed to pop at any moment, which can flush away most or all of your retirement savings. This type of movement has enormous consequences. Virtually zero sectors of the economy are hiring and workforce participation is at record lows. Financial trouble is right here at our doorstep. But if you move right now and develop a backup plan immediately, this could be the most profitable time of your life. Proportionately, more millionaires were created during the Great Depression than at any time in our history. Get my free report at BabyBoomerBackupPlan.com or call 888-507-8789 for my free report. 888-507-8789 and prepare to profit as history repeats itself.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy mix, Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day. Take them camping or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
In 1965, this is the sound. Commission's down. One more time. One more time. One more time. Great to see. Metal Jack. Papa's got a brand new bag.
You're on this hour of America Tonight. And boy, starting with the talk of the talk at the top of the show and mentioning the fact that the big, big news has to be the story on Ebola and the worry over one could have possibly spread. And the answer is, of course, it could possibly spread, but what the realistic chances are, and if it should, what about the treatment? What are we looking at treatment-wise? And the fact that we've seen the success with this experimental serum, which would be very difficult to get, obviously there's the bright spot to that and what that can mean, but it is something that can't stretch to ultimately the amounts that we would be talking about should there be some incredible outbreak in the United States. Therefore, as we all know from watching what happened with SARS and some other things that have happened, some things we feared in the past and some things that we've seen literally happen to people because something was carried across the borders. There's always reasons to be worried about it, to be cautious, and, of course, to keep our eyes on that. So good in one sense, good for the doctor, good for the woman that worked as well with the people who had Ebola in Africa, but still lots of concern over people who were traveling and could they in some way have been touched with it and have those symptoms that almost, you know, overnight seemingly take hold, and people 90% of the time who get it die 90% of the time. All right, I wanted to mention this because this is such a big deal. If you remember what happened when he was by the president and, you know, during the Reagan years, and you see that picture, and how many times have you seen that little slice of video? James Brady, the former White House press secretary, was badly wounded, remember, in the assassination attempt against Ronald Reagan, and later became a huge advocate for gun control. He has died. He was 73. He was having some health problems, so his family announced that he had died, sent out a little press release, a series of health issues with him. And it was wild because leading up to what happened in the shooting of Reagan, he had and still continued to have some amazing, though, accomplishments. And then he was shot in 81. He was right there at the side of Reagan. And he was permanently disabled, of course, after being hit in the head by John Hinckley Jr. that was outside of that Washington Hilton Hotel. But it's what happened afterwards, the Brady campaign to prevent gun violence and all that kind of stuff. That's the federal law requiring a background check on you know, handguns on for buyers has his name. And that's been since the 90s. I think it was the early 90s when the... you know, when that came out, and that's been part of the vernacular, part of the conversation. And, you know, Brady, people forget this, but Brady did try to return to the White House and did for a short time before, you know, only for a short time before he had to give up his job because it was impossible for what had happened. He spent most of his life in a wheelchair. He died at a retirement community in Alexandria. That's where he lived with his wife, Sarah, and I think people talk about him when they talk about Brady and his zeal for living, I guess, is what they think of when they think of James Brady, when they think of what he did and his legacy and all that kind of stuff. Even the briefing room, I've been to the White House just a handful of times, but one of the things that's kind of neat, kind of interesting, is the White House briefing room was named for, you know, Brady. And like I said, even if you're too young to remember it, or if you're in between and you're someone like me, you can remember seeing those replays of the shooting over and over again, and what that caused for him, and again, what happened with him and what he became ultimately as a result of that. And, you know, his this is another thing people forget. It was such a scary thing that happened. He never regained really his full health, and the shooting caused brain damage, partial paralysis, and there was memory impairment because of that. He had slurred speech and constant pain as a result of being hit on that day. It was lucky that he survived, lucky that he lived, and again, what he was able to accomplish with the things that he had to combat because of being hit ultimately by that bullet that was aimed toward Ronald Reagan, and you know, again, he was hit with that. Another thing to mention here, as we skedaddle out of this hour, we had a great guest a couple of weeks ago, Jeff Guskey. If you pick up National Geographic, I've gotten a lot of emails from many of you about that. It is the 100th anniversary of World War I, and Jeff took photographs of this city that was underneath the trenches in some of the battlefields in Europe, specifically in France. It was just mind-blowing to see these pictures, and like I said, they have them in the magazine, and there's even some bigger pictures than the ones that I had seen that were simply amazing. So in the spirit of that 100 years, you think of 100 years and the anniversary of the conflict, excuse me, with Belgium and France, Germany and England, and they were all standing together in allied memorial on Monday to kind of commemorate one of those early battles. The Germans invaded Belgium on August 4th, 1914, as part of a planned attack on France. And then, of course, by the time night had fallen, England had joined the war. The war wasn't supposed to really last long. But so instead of weeks, there was just massive hardship and terrible misery for so many of the people for over 4 years. Even the princes, William and Harry, were there at a cemetery late Monday for a remembrance in England. And, you know, there's ceremonies in Scotland, and there's a candlelight vigil at Westminster Abbey. So this is very significant as to what happened throughout that war, but the fact that it's been, believe it or not, 100 years. 100 years. And for the U.S. joining the Allies against Germany in 1917, and then we know what happened after that, the 1918 armistice and the significance of it ultimately, and what a deep battle that was, that wasn't expected to be that kind of a battle if you pay attention to any of the history. Or, you know, to me it's fascinating to look back at the two wars and see, you know, what it was like then as we compare in a completely different way when we look at what we've been involved in the last decade, in the conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq, incredibly different than looking back on the significance of World War I and World War II and the impact it had on us as a nation, the impact it had on our families, the impact it had on industry and the economy, and what it did to shape our thoughts of our allies and thoughts of future enemies, too, as well. Hey, remember that you can send us your thoughts day or night, 24/7. Got a note from Jim who said, "Hey, Kate, how do I send you an email?" And I think, "Hey, Jim, you sent me an email." So maybe it felt like it wasn't going to reach me. It's americatonight.net. Click on contact and bada bing, you are in just like that. And that's why I say 24/7. Whatever it is, whether you want to vent about something that's happening in your neighborhood or even bigger across the United States, you certainly can do that anytime, day or night.
Question: could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer: yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.